Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls with V, the Gorilla Economist, and I'll chat with him too when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back with V and your calls. V, you have said that we are the collateral for the bankers' debts. Explain that.
Sure. When the Fed came to power in 1913, okay, it has been through a system of incrementalism. Every single event staged and orchestrated has allowed them to grab more and more power, okay?
Yep.
The biggest event that they needed was a depression, and they got that depression in the 29 stock market collapse and the 33 collapse as well, okay? That point, they have collapsed the currency, contracted it so bad that they basically made the federal government beg for mercy. At that point, okay, the U.S. government, for all intents and purposes, was bankrupt. And you could actually Google this. I've actually written articles on this as well. That bankruptcy allowed the total and complete takeover of every facet and every departmental office of the United States. And one of the ways that the U.S. government stays functioning is to always be in a perpetual war mentality. All right. And that is why for most people listening to my voice, and even you, George, okay, this country has been at war for as long as you have been alive, okay? And that's one of the modalities that's used by the banksters, right? We've seen it throughout the history of Britain, all right, where they, when the Brits were at the height of their power in the 1700s, they have fought four massive bloody wars and an outright bankruptcy in order to get to that level. And then they petered down and collapsed. We're at the same juncture, okay? So every aspect of America right now is that of a captured operation. That's why we have been put up, the citizenry, as collateral. We've been pledged as collateral, okay? That's why we have the Social Security Act. That's why, you know, some people, you know, some people don't even know that. Actually, most people don't know that the number on the back of your Social Security card that starts with a letter, the alphanumeric, is actually a bond number, okay? And you take that number, you actually go into any exchange, that's your information pops up. You're the collateral, all right? And we are the collateral that the U.S. uses to float its bonds. So that's the whole thing behind the bankruptcy of the United States.
Of all the things you've looked at, V, which one shocks you still the most?
The thing that shocks me the most, George, is the fact that most Americans understand football scores better than they understand the very monetary policies that dictate what they carry in their wallet. Most Americans could give you verbatim, I mean, case in point, all right? The biggest news story today in New York was not the markets, was not the Kenya mall shootings. The biggest thing in the news today in New York was the fact that 18,000 people stood online in Yankee Stadium waiting for a Mariano Rivera bobblehead doll. That's what blows my mind away, George, because they have totally and completely got us bought and sold into this bread and circus imaginary world that all of us are living in. And that's what kills me.
Amazing. Let's take some calls here for you. We'll go to Dave in Sherman Oaks, California, west of the Rockies. David, how are you?
Yeah, I'm great, George. Thank you for another great show. And Mr. V, I'd just like to ask you this. You did mention John McCain, Lindsey Graham, et cetera. I was just wondering to what extent you feel prior presidents, such as Woodrow Wilson on down to the two Bushes, were specifically involved in creating this environment at the behest of the bankers or as literally part of the blue blood families involved therein.
It's a great question. I think every single president that has come into power since Wilson has been at some form or in some way controlled and manipulated by international shadow banking agendas, okay? Every single president that has tried to get away from that has either been thrown out of office, a la Nixon, or B, completely killed, Kennedy, Garfield, Lincoln, okay? So that's the extent. And also with Reagan, okay, here's an interesting story with Reagan, okay? We all know his assassination attempt. Prior to that assassination attempt by Hinckley, he was very vocal, very ardent. The man kind of spoke his mind. And after that event, he kind of quieted down. I know that some people have noticed that. It turns out, I know a very good friend of mine who's a scientist knows the doctor that worked on Reagan that very fateful day. And that whole event was very suspect to begin with, okay, especially the fact that Secret Service supposedly got lost for 18 minutes trying to find a hospital in New York City. It's absolutely ridiculous. So, yeah, to answer your question, yeah, there is no president. A president is just a puppet, a figurehead. No matter who the president is, the agenda never changes. The monetary policy never touches. It's the Holy Grail. It's never touched. And the foreign policy, which reflects not the military-industrial complex, because the military-industrial complex is it does the bidding of the multinational bankers.
Well, they do the bidding, and they do the bidding quite well, don't they?
Yep. Absolutely.
Next up, we go to Mark in Ocala, Florida, on the wild card line. Mark, thank you. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, George, and thank you for coming on, V. I want to make three real quick points. That without the lawyers, the corrupt lawyers and judges, the cities like Detroit could become so corrupt, and Washington, D.C. could not become so corrupt. And McCain and Graham, they're narcissistic, sociopathic, commie-Nazi Marxist pragmatists is what they all are, it seems to me. And another question was, how do they manipulate the silver so far away from gold? It's unbelievable because it should be 10 to 1. And you mentioned the housing with 34 million. How is it that they are able to maintain such a high price on a home that should not have so much value to it?
Great question. The thing with silver is this, and I'm going to give you a quick little synopsis here. With J.P. Morgan, when they started their SLV ETF, okay, they put about 34 million ounces of physical silver into their vault. They put out contracts for 750 million ounces in the hopes that all those contracts will not be coming in one day asking for their silver, causing a collapse of the run on the vault. Right, so all the crashing of silver that you see globally and worldwide is them just selling off and dumping future contracts and buying it up on the market itself. The paper market has no bearing on the physical market, no bearing whatsoever. I have contacts in the UK who are telling me that, hey, V, it's taking me 2 weeks on waiting list to get gold, to get silver. I have contacts in Hong Kong telling me the same thing, in the Philippines and in India. All over the world, there is a shortage. There is a shortage of precious metals because people, the world, sense the impending doom and collapse of the dollar, and they are buying gold and silver at a ravenous clip. Okay, so all the manipulations, the way the banksters do it, is all in the paper market. And we're getting into a point of history. And like I said before, central banks and governments do not dictate what real money is. The free market and individuals do. And we're getting to the point in history where we're going to see a divorce from the papers market and the physical market. It's going to be two completely different things. Okay. Now, the second thing about housing. The way they're able to do it is this. Back in 2007, all right, the bank that I work for owned a U.S. subsidiary. And what we've done is this. We had a mortgage department, let's say about 2,300 individuals. They fired and laid off the vast majority of it, and we whittled down that department down to only 120 individuals.
Oh, jeez.
So we purposely bottlenecked the whole process, because if we let that faucet open, it would have created a housing crash the world has never seen before. So we purposely siphoned off a vast majority of inventory from ever reaching into the market, and then we slowly trickled it in, okay? And that's how we're able to control the artificial rising of the prices of homes, which is a total bubble. Folks, let me tell you something. You don't have an economy in this country. I'm going to repeat that again. You do not have an economy. And what I mean by that is this. When you have a central bank that's the primary driver of your stock market, you don't have an economy. When you have a central bank that's the primary buyer of your treasuries, you don't have an economy. When you have a central bank that's the primary sustainer of your real estate market, you don't have an economy. When you have a central bank, if the chairman passes gas in the wrong direction, the market dives 200-300 points. Folks, you don't have an economy. What you have is a house of cards. What you have is a really bad Ponzi scheme.
But it seems to work for them, V.
Oh, it works great for them, so long as the sheeple go along with it.
And they have been.
For the most part, yes.
For the most part. Let's go to first-time caller Mark Kona on the Big Island in Hawaii. Hey, Mark, go ahead.
Aloha, gentlemen. George, thank you for taking my call.
You're
first
welcome.
And long over here. V, it's a pleasure. I've got a real quick stream of thought here. You mentioned previously that since the U.S. went into receivership in 33, that basically the nation's wealth, our assets, such as, let's say, real property, have all been submitted as collateral for our debt, so that those of us out here that even own their land and have the mortgage really don't own it. In the precious metals world, we have our mantra, you don't own it unless you hold it in your hand, and it would appear as though there's a little tweak to that when it comes to the real estate scenario. It's my understanding that the Federal Reserve issues Federal Reserve notes to the citizens of the country, and it's not a right that we have to use them, but it's a privilege. And because of that privilege and that Federal Reserve note being their product, there's somewhat of a little bit of a debt is assigned to everything that we purchase using those notes, which shows ownership by the Federal Reserve. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that, and any idea, ballpark range, how much it would cost minimum portfolio to leave the country. I'll listen to you off the air.
Okay. Go ahead, V.
Fantastic, Mark. It's a great question here, and he nailed it. And that's exactly what it is. The land, if you look at every mortgage application, okay, the very bottom of it, it says that the Federal Reserve, in very tiny letters, is basically the lender of last resort. Okay, they practically own all the mortgages. And thanks to systems like MERS, okay, they have bought and sold mortgages on the back end to the point where most of these banks don't even know who the heck has the title anymore. All right? We've all heard the stories on the news where individuals who have bought their homes outright and paid cash for them are now being foreclosed upon by the banks, and they have to go through a whole court process because there's such a disillusionment as to who has the deeds and the ownership of the house. Okay, so that is the issue, folks. You know, people say, well, you know, I paid off my mortgage. All right, my mortgage is paid off. I own the land. I'm good to go. You don't own anything in this country. You want to know who owns your house? Don't pay your property tax.
Then you'll know.
You'll find out real quick, all right? They might even SWAT team you these days just for the fun of it, okay? So that's number one. So because of the simple fact that we have a Federal Reserve note, and that's currency, folks, and people need to understand real quick the difference between currency and money. Those are two very different things, all right? And that Federal Reserve currency that's been given to us as a privilege to use has debt attached to it, because a currency is somebody else's, it's legal tender, it's somebody else's debt obligation. real money for the last 6,000 years has been gold and silver, okay? And that's the recognizable form worldwide for real store of wealth. But in terms of a market question about leaving the country in any type of portfolio, go to my website, roguemoney.net. Folks, this website is a brand new website. It was actually launched yesterday.
And you don't do the www on it or you get a squirrel. Did you know that, V?
I didn't know that. I got to contact
my
webmaster.
So don't do the www. Just do roguemoney.net and you'll get right in.
Got it. I'll let my webmaster know that immediately. But yeah, go to roguemoney.net. Don't put the www. All right? There's a consultation tab on there. Click it, number one. Number two, I want to let people know this. And Steve Quayle and Doug Hagman could vouch for this. I am one of the most ripped-off guys on the web. And what I mean by that is this. I've had my articles ripped off verbatim by Forbes, by Wall Street Journal, okay? And, folks, my site is a brand-new site. It's a subscription-based site. For pretty much 9 cents a day, you're going to get cutting-edge financial information. There's a consultation up there as well, which, you know, is a separate charge. But you will have access to the preeminent website for financial news and information. I have top-tier guys that are going to be writing for me as well. So, Mark, contact me through that site, or you can contact me at gorillaeconomist@gmail.com, and we can discuss that further.
All right, very good. Let's take another quick call before the break. Tucson, Arizona. Michael, take it away.
Okay, that's me. Hey.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, George. Hi, V.
Hey, Mike.
I got to do this really quick. I just wanted to tell V also that I have filled out my UCC-1 form, my UCC-1 lien. I own my commercial liability. I have not done my UCC-3. Two quick questions. The end game here. It looks like they're trying to make us all slaves. If they're going to stagflation, if they're going to reduce the value of our buying power. Is that the end game? And other than precious metals, is there obviously not real estate? Where would we put our wealth? Second question, if we all want to run for office, would you recommend that? And if so, should we do it under the Truth Party, say? And go ahead. I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
In less than a minute, V, go for it.
In terms of owning real estate in this country, it's very tricky based upon what federal land is owned by the feds, what's owned by the state and local municipalities, Indian reservations, things of that sort, okay? If you're able to get what's called a root title to the land, and, you know, that's one of the ways, and you got to make sure that that land or that house that you bought is not on the MERS system, your mortgage is not done on MERS whatsoever. When we do go into collapse, okay, and if you have a foreign creditor that comes knocking on the door, what I've been told from my sources is that they will accept gold or silver as exchange for payment for the land that's been sold to them as collateral on the back end. Okay, so that's the good news. In terms of running for local office, I recommend anybody getting involved in a political sense, go ahead and do so. In terms of political parties, I definitely abstain from the mainstream false left-right paradigm. And I hope those are...
All right, EV, we're going to come back and wrap things up with final calls on Coast to Coast AM. What makes a psychopath? That's one of the things we'll talk about on our next Coast to Coast program. So make sure you're part of it. And when we come back with V, we're going to take final phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. Final segment with V. V, those people who are listening to us tonight, what would you like them to bring with them, bring away from this program listening to you?
One of the things that I really want people to understand is this, okay? The bread and circus that we've enjoyed for so long in this country is done. It's over. We are moving into a new paradigm. And what that exactly means, I don't know what those details are. But I will tell you that we are moving into a time of great struggle and turmoil as well as chaos. It's going to be very rough for the people here in the United States of America, okay? Some of us will have to think about becoming more globally minded in the sense of moving out of here, okay? Others of us would have to think of preserving their wealth. And for that, I can help in every aspect of those things that I've mentioned, okay? roguemoney.net would be the site to go to for that information. Now, that being said, you know, you'd have to think about preserving your wealth because, look, your currency is being inflated to oblivion, and that's going to happen. So that's the biggest thing that I want people to understand, that this is not a cycle. This is not business as usual. This is not let's kick the can down the road. There's no more road left for the can to be kicked down anymore. And that's what I want people to grasp, is to understand what is at stake here. And what is at stake is your future. Your hard-earned wealth is at great risk and great jeopardy.
And you got to be smart about it.
Absolutely.
Back to the phones we go. Bronx, New York. Joe, good morning, Joseph. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you, George?
Good, Joe.
I'd like to ask your guest if he thinks that the banks will eventually control the world. And also, I heard him mention natural gas deposits in the Middle East. It was something I heard about natural gas deposits being either on a coast or off the coast of Israel. Can he elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure.
Absolutely. Let's start with that natural gas off the coast of Israel. In fact, the discovery of that, which is about almost a decade ago, of 16 trillion cubic feet of natural gas right off of Israel, Lebanon, and here's the key word, Syria. And that was what painted Lebanon and Syria as you know, on the map of the globalist banksters and their war for resource and control. So that's absolutely correct. That is one of the big things right now. You see, we talk about the petrodollar, and the survival of the petrodollar is very much also tied into the control of compressed as well as liquid natural gas that's within that region as well.
You know, this Afghanistan, let's talk about that and that pipeline that they wanted to get. It is being worked on, isn't it, right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Ever since we've procured control of Afghanistan, you know, we began to work on the Caspian pipeline. Okay, the thing with again, this is why Iran is a target. Okay, folks, it's downright ridiculous the charade these guys are playing. All right, you know, they have to mow down Iran, and they're trying to mow down Syria, and this is all about pipelines. It's all about natural gas and getting it into the hot European markets. Yes, that pipeline is being constructed. It's in its phases, and you got to understand, the globalist banksters, these guys do not want a stable Middle East. Okay, it is through chaos that they are able to really siphon and control much of the resources of a particular nation. And they need that. They can't have a strong, stable republic-type government set up in the Middle East. It's complete anathema to the banksters. Hence, I mean, you look at Libya. What is the first thing we did when we toppled Libya besides procuring their oil fields and securing it? Okay, what we've done is we've set up the Libyan Central Bank. In fact, that was one of the first things that was drafted by Al-Qaeda. I mean, think about this. Al-Qaeda's first agenda was set up a central bank. I mean, how crazy is this?
Next up, Anthony, Glendale, Arizona. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yes, hi. How are you, George?
Good, Anthony. Thank you.
Hey, good afternoon. Good evening, V. I'm a little bit nervous. You got me nervous with this MERS system for the real estate?
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to find out a little bit more information on that without taking too much time. If you could just kind of brief me on that, because I heard all kind of horror stories about notes being missing and all that good stuff. And I want to try to buy a house, and yet I hear all these stories, and I don't know. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to try to get as much knowledge as possible.
All right. What can you tell us here, V?
Well, the thing about MERS, which is the Mortgage Electronic Recognition System, the thing with MERS, and especially with the selling of collateralized debt obligations, mortgage-backed securities on the global market, that has caused the ownership, the deed of the house to be shifted from various investment firms, various individuals worldwide and over has caused a great deal of fraud and a great deal of just absolute bewilderment as to where these deeds are. In fact, there was a gentleman, I just don't remember the guy's name. I think he has a New York Times best-selling book. I'm not exactly sure on this, but it's called Clouded Titles. It's a great book to pick up. He actually details the MERS system, goes very in depth into it, as well as ways you can avoid it. Another thing with MERS is this. They are passing a law, and again, every instance where a person's title was brought before a court of law, the judges usually have those foreclosure.
David Krieger, by the way.
Yes, David Krieger. There it is. That's the guy's name. David Krieger, Clouded Titles. Great book. Pick it up. The courts have thrown out most of these MERS cases because they just can't. These banks just show up to court, and they have no title. They have no claim to the house. So now the banksters have decided to pass laws with their bought and paid for Congress that they don't even need to show up with the title. They just say, oh, the house is in the MERS system. Here's the printout for MERS. Therefore, we own the house. So when you're trying to buy a house, as I told the last gentleman, you want to look for land that's not on federal land. You want to look for something that's not in the MERS system. If you want to buy a house, you want to make sure, ask your bank, do you guys use MERS? And if they do, tell them you don't want it, and if they can't offer you an alternative, you're going to walk away from it. That's what you got to do, and you got to shop around for banks or credit unions that, and this is, the smaller banks will allow you to do this. The bigger ones, forget about it. But the local credit unions that would allow you to purchase a mortgage that's bypassing the MERS system. That's step number one. Step number two is you got to preserve your wealth, okay? If you don't have gold and silver, now a lot of people ask me, well, V, where do I get gold and silver from? Look, I get all my clients to get it directly from Renaissance Precious Metals. That's Steve Coyle's business. Okay, call Steve up. He's been very fast with delivery. Gets it to you the next day. Okay, get gold and silver while you still can. Right? Because should the time come where you get a knock on the door and you have a foreign national saying, get out of the house, I want it, you can say, hey, you know what, let me buy back my home from you. And oft times, like I said before, foreigners understand the value of precious metals. You would be able to preserve and protect and buy back what you have, okay, once this federal fiat system is done away with. Hope that answers your question.
And do you think they would actually come and confiscate the gold?
No. I'm going to give you a little play-by-play. There is far too much gold and silver in the hands of private individuals, okay, even though not everybody is buying it, but, there's a limited supply of gold and silver on the market. And that limited supply is in so many hands, and a lot of it, number one, is hard to track who has it. Number two, it just takes too much of a hassle, too much resource just to have the manpower to go out and individually try to confiscate your gold and silver, number one. Number two, banksters have kind of learned, and as the Indian Central Bank is learning right now, when you try to enact laws limiting the purchase of gold or precious metals, all you do is create a burgeoning black market, okay, which becomes even more lucrative and more detrimental to your economy. Okay, now, in terms of confiscation, I will tell you that many of the depositories, okay, such as those in the Northeast and in the West Coast, have been targeted for confiscation, just like your bank safe deposit boxes are not safe at all. Okay, just like your bank accounts are not safe at all. Folks, if you're holding more money in the bank than you need to pay your bills and run your expenses with, you're crazy.
Would you keep a little cash hidden away?
I always recommend keeping at least $10,000 to $15,000 to even $20,000 in cash in a vault or safe in your house. Okay? Reason for that is it comes in handy should you have a banking disruption occur and you can't make it to an ATM and you can't make it out to get money out of the bank. It allows you to get through. Okay, and that money will be used up very quickly in a hyperinflationary environment. But, yeah, always good to have some currency on you. I recommend, if you have a little bit of dollars. I also recommend foreign currencies, certain foreign currencies I like, the Swiss franc, 40% backed by gold, the Norwegian krone, backed by the commodity or the mineral wealth of and the oil wealth of Norway. The Aussie dollar is very good. New Zealand dollar is also very strong right now. So I have some foreign currencies that I recommend as well.
Let's go next to Simi Valley, California. West, Ben's with us. Good morning, Ben.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, Ben. Thank you.
I would like to ask your guest, you spoke about McFadden earlier, which is a hero, and he also said that gold is not needed to back their internal currency. But I wanted to know if you were familiar with the Federal Reserve Act. I know you touched on that, 1913, Section 16, where it says the Federal Reserve notes are to be issued of the – let me read it to you real quick.
All right.
If I, it says Federal Reserve notes to be issued at the discretion of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System for the purpose of making advances to Federal Reserve banks through the Federal Reserve agents is hereinafter set forth, and for no other purpose is hereby authorized. Did it say me and you are authorized to have them?
Nope.
Nope.
Doesn't sound that way.
Well, it's a privilege. Having the federal notes and using it as legal tender is a privilege that's been given to us by the Federal Reserve.
Sure is.
So we don't have total ownership of those notes.
But we do use them.
Yes.
And how long can we use them until something
not happens? For long.
You think they're going to change things or what? Cashless?
Oh, the push, and I've worked on some of the systems that, and I'm very familiar with the upcoming high-speed data networks that they're laying, that they've laid all over the world, as well as the complete new digital NFC payment systems that are up and running. They've introduced this on smartphones where you just take your smartphone, you whiz it by your little Starbucks register, and all of a sudden a receipt prints out and you're on your way.
Amazing. Okay?
So that's already set up. So the system's already there. So we are going digital. You see, the paper, the actual physical paper of currencies, that paper supply is being destroyed.
Okay? Of course.
That's why, you know, I mean, there's instances of massive bank and ATM outages that are occurring all throughout the country, where individuals go to an ATM, they can't get cash out, and they say they go into the bank account, they say, oh, you know, our systems are down. We can't give you the $40 or $50 that you need right now. Just use your debit card. And the question a lot of customers have, well, I could use my debit card, but I can't get the paper money out. Well, it's correct, because most banks are insolvent, okay? They don't have money. If I were to tell you how many big-name banks are showing up to the Federal Reserve window to borrow as little as $10,000 to operate for the week, you'll be bewildered, okay? So the paper supply is being destroyed. We are transitioning to a complete digital currency.
If there was a run on a bank, they could not supply you with the cash.
Absolutely. The banks have no cash. I mean, try to
minimal.
Go to your bank one day and say, "Hey, let me get out $3,000 or $5,000." See what hoops you got to jump through to get that.
Can we say that even if we don't have it in our account? Would that work?
That would be great.
Let's go to Jenny in Cincinnati. Hello, Jenny. Go ahead.
Hi. I was wondering, you're talking about foreign currencies. Is the impending revaluation of the Iraqi dinar going to have any effect on our economy or the economy of the world?
Here's the thing, okay? Look, I'm going to tell you from an inside source, and I get these emails on Iraqi dinars, and I don't mean to offend anybody, please. I'm a New Yorker. I'm going to give it to you straight. No feelings. I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, okay? The whole Iraqi dinari thing is a scam, okay? It is a poorly constructed scam in the hopes that one day this country is going to be stable and moves are being made to revaluate the dinari.
That could be
not going to happen.
50 years from now.
Say that again?
That could be 50 years from now.
It could be 100 years from now. So there are individuals who have spent a considerable amount of money in order to buy these dinars. My best advice to you, and this is from a banking insider, I know how the system works. Get rid of your dinars. Get a real currency or get a real asset.
You can buy 5 million dinars for $5,000.
Yep. I'd rather take 5,000 and buy a couple ounces of gold or 500 ounces of you know, or a couple hundred ounces of silver.
So you're saying it's a bad investment?
It's horrible. Horrible. Iraq will never be stable. It was, you got to understand, Iraq is a multi-ethnic country with various different religious groups, all vying for power, number one.
It's out of control.
All vying for control. And number two, you have this entity called the United States Anglo-American Banking Cartel that's in there that has disrupted things. So you keep the people in fighting and in perpetual chaos while you rob them of your resources. Why on earth would the United States want to stable Iraq? Why? Number one. Number two, Iraq is not Dubai. Okay? So it's never going to be Dubai.
Never.
Right? You look at prosperous Middle Eastern countries, those are the ones with very strong emirates or, you know, royal.
Well, and tight-fisted leaders. And
exactly.
So much for democracy.
Exactly.
We support all those dictatorships.
Right. So much for Iraq.
So be it. So, V, we're out of time. Thank you. Get your website out one more time.
The website is roguemoney.net. It is the one-stop shop. I mean, you have everything from ETFs, commodities, bonds. Everything is on there. You can join. It's an initial payment of $10, and then it's $2.99 a month. 9 cents a day, folks. You're gonna. I mean, there are sites that charge $26 to $50 a month for not even close to the information that we put out at roguemoney.net. If you need consultation, you can contact me at gorillaeconomist@gmail.com or hit the consultation tab over at roguemoney.net. If you need precious metals, you can contact Steve at Renaissance Metals. And also you can check out revelationnow.net, which is one of our sisters.
All right. What a future we have. Thank you, V. For Dan Galante, Tina Pepe, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, George Knapp, John B. Wells, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.